Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another edition of the M Squared TechCast. I believe this is number 102.
102.
Okay. Well, we've passed the century mark and left that in the dust, and we're still going.
Yes, Jessica and I remember that memorable 100th episode.
That I missed.
The whole thing fell apart on us.
Yeah, well.
It was like Murphy's Law that day.
Yes. Whatever could did, you know? Yeah. It was like, yeah, we get through it. So,
well, we've got a great show for you today. We've got to talk about connected vehicles. We're going to be talking about the Michigan Small Business Development Center. The state CIO is going to stop by to talk about cybersecurity and the Cyber Summit today. And last but not least, Tel Gannessen, I think that's how you pronounce it.
I think it's Gannessen? We'll have to ask him, but okay. I think it's Gannessen.
Okay. Well, he's president of Thai Detroit, the wonderful entrepreneurship organization, and he's going to be talking about the ThaiCon event, which is always a good time for anyone inclined to tech, entrepreneurship, or economic development. It's a great event. It has been for years.
Great Indian food, too.
Well, yeah. Indeed. If you are after curry, that's your spot.
It's the curry spot.
That's right. Okay. Well, before we get in any trouble, we will proceed to our first guest. Patrick Anderson is CEO of Supported Intelligence. And for those who know him, he is also a longtime, what would you describe him as?
Bon vivant, man about town, dapper dresser, things like that.
Well-known street fighter, as Sonny Elliott used to say, about a whole bunch of people.
Yeah. So we're getting silence from East Lansing here, so he's pondering all this. How you doing today,
Patrick? I like the street fighter part.
Street fighter. Thank you very much. Okay. All right.
Somewhere between dapper dresser and street fighter. I'll stick with that.
Okay.
The rest of the day.
Yeah, that's cool.
Pretty soon I'll have to be an economist, and no one will believe either of the others. So.
Yep, that's it.
Well, they do call it the dismal science for a reason, but you're doing something really interesting now. Supported Intelligence has some really interesting technology that you're now using with a team of engineering students from that other school down the road in Ann Arbor, the University of Michigan.
He's a state fan. He can't help it.
Yeah,
he was dropped on his head as a baby. Yeah. So.
I think the entire offense was dropped on its head on Saturday. I can tell you that. But he's using this technology to research and prototype an application for use with connected vehicles. So Patrick, what's going on with Supported Intelligence and connected vehicles?
Yeah, Supported Intelligence is a tech company headquartered right here in Michigan. It's something that actually grew out of the consulting firm Anderson Economic Group, which is at this point 21 years headquartered here in Michigan, and has done work with, I would say, pretty much every sector in the state and a lot of the people and their employers that are listening today. But we started Supported Intelligence because we wanted to bring some path-breaking new technology for solving decision models to actual use, and we've filed a bunch of patent applications on that, and we have some really interesting applications that are out there, including Smart Bracket that I know has been featured here before, to help pick your bracket for an NCAA tournament, things that you are just amazing. And now we've got a prototype that we developed a couple years ago that we're having some engineering students at University of Michigan spend intensive time on for the entire semester. And they're seeing if we can make use of this technology to help design traffic networks that we can use with connected vehicles to save people time and keep them more safe.
Explain. How would that work?
Well, if you think about what we're looking at, I mean, we're constantly seeing century-old technology when we drive to work or drive to the grocery store in the form of a traffic light. And, you know, it's pretty good technology. It just has a timer on it, and the lights change. And, you know, it changes from green to yellow to red and then back. And that works pretty well. Well, what if all of a sudden you can connect with vehicles and you can identify that at some intersections you have a big, big backup, and at other intersections you don't have anything? You don't have anybody waiting. Huh. Wouldn't it be great if you could maybe keep that light open a little bit longer at those times where it could save a lot of people time, and then shorten the light when very few people or nobody's waiting? Now, put that together, because, of course, you drive down a street, you got one traffic signal, then you got another one. You have to look at the whole network, and this is exactly what we're doing in Michigan, as you gentlemen have talked about. Michigan's building the world's best test bed for these kind of things. But we want to develop and use the technology to decide how you set up those traffic signals. When do you let exits open? When do you send cars onto the network? Things like that. That's an area of intense interest with huge potential savings, and it's one where we've got some good ideas. We're going to see if they work.
I tell you, one place you could test it is on East University.
Strikes close to home for Mike.
In East Stadium, too. Those two, they got the longest lights there. I mean, you can sit there. There's one intersection at South Industrial in East Stadium. You must sit there 5 minutes because there's five different streets coming in. But like you say, sometimes very little traffic on those little side streets, and we're all sitting there, nothing's happening, and you're wondering, should I run the light or what? You know, so that would be a good idea.
Exactly. What you have just articulated there, Mike, is what every single driver sees all the time, and we put up with it, and there hasn't been any alternative, really. I mean, some places you think they ought to spend more time on it, but the traffic signals work successfully for approximately a century. Once you have cars that can communicate, I'm not talking about all autonomous vehicles or robots driving everything, just having enough information to know when there's a backup or not, that may open the way, if you have the decision-making technology, to significantly reduce the time that productive people just sit there and wait. And that's part of what our goal is here with this rapid recursive technology that's been used for other things, such as picking a bracket.
Yeah, I'm speaking of which, are you going to be bringing that back come March?
Oh, absolutely. The smart bracket, the most amazing application. Again, I didn't invent this one. Neil Anderson invented this one. But outpicked, I think, 70 or 80 or 90% of the other people who spend way more time on it. I mean, literally, I did my whole 64 bracket in about 30 seconds. And I beat almost everybody I knew.
Wow.
And that was just using that software.
Well, in the interest of spreading out the test of this technology, I would also request that you use it at Telegraph and Ford Roads on the border of Dearborn and Dearborn Heights that I hit very frequently. Yeah. And Telegraph gets massively backed up there at rush hour. So that's just no fun at all. I'm sure there's a lot of places like that, though. And it seems like you're sitting there waiting for no one, you know, half the time. So.
And that's part of what we're trying to bring in. And support intelligence was chosen deliberately. We didn't use the term artificial intelligence because I don't like that term. I'm not sure what it means. And there's nothing artificial about that. When you are waiting at an intersection, just sitting there, there's no artificial loss. You're losing time.
And gas,
and when people
and
run
else.
Red lights, that's a real risk.
Yeah.
So we're trying to bring decision-making technology, what some people call artificial intelligence, to actual business applications. And this is a great one. We're glad we've got these young engineers here. Let me just mention them. Anmol Anand, Stephen Huang, Anish Ravapati, and Kevin Zhang. They are our team, along with EJ Lin, at the University of Michigan. So we're very hopeful that they're right now inventing new ways to apply this technology where everybody needs it, including the intersections you gentlemen drive every day.
Yeah.
So how did you happen to link up with this professor and his students at U of M?
I will say this time it was the ambitious U of M engineering students that found us. Mm. And we've been really happy to see that. These are not the first folks to come up at U of M and get involved. We also have had a lot of involvement with Michigan State, with Northwestern University, with the University of Chicago. Almost all of the intellectual development of this particular technology was done by people that are in and around Southeastern Michigan and a lot of graduates from the colleges here. And so it's really been good to grow this here. We haven't had to go out to Silicon Valley, and we're really disproving the myth that to invent something cool, you have to go out and, you know, live in Palo Alto and buy lattes at the Starbucks there.
And so. Spend $1 million on houses and stuff.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, this is, of course, I've grown up in and around Detroit, and I this was the original place where people invented things, and it's still the place where people invent things.
So what else are you using supported intelligence technology for these days besides picking brackets and connecting vehicles?
The rapid recursive methodology is designed to help people make decisions. So if you think about artificial intelligence, a lot of people think it's just, say, text matching or, you know, having Siri find you the nearest Chinese restaurant, all of which is pretty cool and couldn't be done 20 years ago. But this is actually helping people make decisions. So we have applications that have been used that help people make, for example, investment decisions or look at risks. And we have some really exciting innovation that we're going to roll out pretty soon related to where Amazon should pick its headquarters. And think about that. Now, that's a big competition. Michigan's in it, and at least Grand Rapids and Detroit, Chicago's in it. And we're just teasing our highly educated, advanced, ahead-of-the-curve Michigan tech audience with letting them know that that is coming in soon.
So is there any way you can kind of jury-rig that so that it picks Detroit or someplace in Michigan and you can have Amazon try it and go, gosh, why did we think of that, you know?
Well, I mean, Detroit's my sentimental favorite. Grand Rapids, I'd also like. Chicago, I think, has opportunities. There's actually a memo that I wrote on the Anderson Economic Group website that was that lays out some strategies for Detroit that I think could work. And we're actually going to test that out when we use the rapid recursive method. What would increase shareholder value and for Amazon? Where should they pick? It can't be just the lowest cost place or the place with the most transit stops. And you know, even though we've cataloged with our HQ2 index that's on the Anderson Economic Group website, everything, all those key indicators they said they want. What do their shareholders want? What do their managers want? And if you look down the road, what would it take to really build a valuable innovation and a valuable facility? And I think Detroit has a chance if they focus on those things that are really powerful. Let's see what happens when we really put the software to work to pick what we think shareholders would find would add the most value to Amazon.
All right, Patrick, we're under a minute to go now, so why don't you give us your contact information? If people want more information about supported intelligence or the Anderson Economic Group, where do they go online?
Yeah, if you go to supportintelligence.com, you can see some of the information about that. It's a very innovative company, so it's a relatively new, smaller company. Anderson Economic Group's been around for 21 years. I'm very happy about that. Have some great people working for us here in Michigan. Michigan is our headquarters. We also have an office in Chicago and one in New York City as well. And the website for that is AndersonEconomicGroup.com.
Okay. Thanks very much, Patrick Anderson of Supported Intelligence and Anderson Economic Group. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we'll be right back with more of the M2 TechCast, proudly part of the PodcastDetroit.com network.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, well, we both jumped off sides
yes,
there.
We did, yes.
False start, 5-yard
penalty.
All right,
yes, all right. So, this is Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch.
And you're listening to M2 TechCast. And we're waiting for Keith Brophy to join us. He hasn't joined us yet, has he? No. Okay. But we have on the line, and I'm going to – why don't you pronounce your names, because I'm notorious for butchering names.
My name is Giuseppe.
Okay, Giuseppe, is it Santangelo?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay.
I guessed right on that one.
And you're the CEO of Skypersonic.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, right.
Now, that's as much information as we were given by Keith. So while we wait for him to join us, why don't you tell us a little bit about what is Skypersonic?
Skypersonic is a small company. We started a couple of years ago, about five people. Now we are about 15. And then we produce UAV for indoor application.
Ah.
So for autonomous drone that can fly indoor.
It's a quadcopter setup with a four propellers?
Four blades.
Yeah, absolutely right. But they have also a cage, a spherical cage around. So the drone is completely safe, can fly, bump, roll, and go everywhere. They are designed to work, to cooperate with humans. So there's a kind of little different than other.
Go into a little more detail. How is that different?
Oh, primarily what I said, the drone. I had this idea a couple of years ago. I was thinking drones could be scary, could be unsafe. Even they can perform wonderful activity. So how to make something very safe, intrinsically safe? So we designed this spherical cage, completely spherical, and inside the cage there is a quadcopter. The cage is designed also with kind of a material that allow the cage and the drone to bump, to roll on the floor without creating any damage to the drone itself or to the people that are working with the drone. In addition to that, the drone has a special system we invented, we call Skylock, which is a navigation system for indoor. Because as you can imagine, a drone inside a house or a pavilion cannot use the GPS for autonomous flight. So you need to provide a position to drive the drone in an autonomous way. So definitely designer also, we created another product we are selling too, which is named Skylock, which is a Skypersonic ultra-accurate locationing system that is used together the drone to let the drone autonomous indoor.
So I'm assuming the indoor drone then what has a camera, and so you can shoot pictures. What else can it do?
Yeah, the drone has a camera. We also designed the drone by including many kind of sensors in the same structure. So actually the structure of the drone is an electronic board. So the drone can hold also temperature, humidity, gas sensor, obviously cameras as well. So with all this bunch of sensors, you can use the drone to conduct inspections, just to make a surveillance of a big pavilion, of a manufacturing plant. That is the main purpose of the drone.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what the application was, but it's for, I would imagine, either large commercial or industrial buildings, just to sort of keep an eye on things and monitor, as you said, temperature, humidity, gas alarm, that kind of thing?
Yes, absolutely that. And then in addition, I want to mention that we started to think we have to drive the drone indoor. So we don't have GPS. Let's create a GPS for indoor. And that was Skylock. And then we started to sell the drone with the Skylock. And a customer said to us, we don't want the drone. We want just Skylock. Because Skylock is useful for other applications. And then we started a new line of products, which is Skylock, which is a very accurate monitoring system to, let's say, monitor, track stuff that are not trackable via GPS, because GPS is not available. Just to give you an example, in this moment, a big OEM is testing our Skylock to drive cars, vehicles, autonomously inside indoor parking lot or tunnel or urban canyon where GPS is corrupted. They can use our system to drive the car, obviously in autonomy, right?
Right. So how physically big is it? How large is this whole apparatus with the cage around it and everything?
The drone has to be small. Sometimes bigger doesn't mean better. Smaller in this case means better. So the drone is about 14 inches of the diameter in total, but is able to carry at least a couple hundred payload as a kind of camera, in addition to what we provide, obviously.
Okay. And what sort of flight time are we talking about? How long can it stay aloft?
That is a change on the basis of the pilot, capability or the payload. Generally, we go from 20 minutes up to 12, 15 minutes. 20, 15 is at the range.
Okay. Great.
And what's the price point of the product?
The price point of the product, we start from a kit that people can also install by themselves of about $800.
Hmm.
Okay, and you said you've grown from 5 to 50 employees. Are you assembling them here in Michigan somewhere, or where's the the product assembled?
Yes, absolutely. They are all in Michigan. Well, to be honest, a company myself is Italian. I come from Italy, so we have a small subsidiary in Italy too. So we have 3 people in Italy, 3 engineers. We moved them in the United States, and they cooperate with us with the visa. But in addition to that, all the other employees are Michigan-based. We are located in Rochester, nearby, you know, Oakland University.
Oh, so you just up the road for us, because the studio is in Royal Oak.
Oh, great.
Okay, so I was just looking at your website, and I saw that you had a partnership with the Birmingham Public Schools. Could you talk about that just a little bit?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I am an instructor at the university and love to interact with students and with people. So we started to cooperate to be partner with Birmingham Public School. In the moment, we realized that we could sell drones also for educational application to learn this technology to students, to everybody want to go to put a feet inside and having a more deeper understanding about that. So a deeper understanding of drones means able to program, to test, to fly drones. So we started with Birmingham Public District to design a kit, an educational kit for students, high school students and also college students. Right now we sold mostly probably 300 units to schools and all over, so nearby, so in this area, Michigan, also North Michigan, also in Australia. And also some universities are purchasing. For instance, UAD, University of Mercy, is using drones to try to get a 3D model of an ancient palace in Detroit, which is unsafe to go inside. So they use our drones to go inside and take picture and rebuild the three-dimensional models from an artistic point of view. It's the architecture department. So, and they obviously, the students are doing this, and their student built the drawing also, not just the using the drone, but they built and they learn all the technology connected to.
Interesting. So you could use these for commercial applications, for inspections. I know that's very big right now, like you say, for buildings that may not be where you'd want a human to go into, or oil refineries, pipelines, all sorts of folks are using these drones for their inspections.
Great. Absolutely right. You're right. There are many places that you don't want to send a human, for instance, Suez, for instance, or other application. We got some test with the police of Chicago to use the drone for some kind of intrusion from a police officer in a non-risky and risky area. So we can launch the drone and the drone can make the inspection. In addition to that, connected to the Skylock, the drone can have many tag or let's say sensor to monitor a kind of a risky situation instead to send people. So the drone can go there, deploy the Skylock sensors, and then from the Skylock network, you can get the information about the situation before to operate with human. So we tested that with the police of Chicago, and we're still cooperating with our GON laboratory in Chicago about that. So that's one branch for safety, for instance, for human safety. That's very, very, very interesting to us.
Giuseppe, tell me a little bit about your personal story. I'm just curious how you happened to get into the drone business and also how you happened to wind up in Rochester, Michigan, coming from Italy. How did that happen?
Yes. Oh, thank you for the question. I came here 7 years ago. I was a CEO of an international engineering group. And then I had the passion of space because my background is in astronautical engineering. So when I came into Michigan, I started to lead these companies, and a foreign company, and I had the idea to start up. I started to love Michigan. My kids love this place, the people, and say, we don't want to come back in Italy. We want to stay here. So we decided to quit. I decided to quit from that work, and I created the Skypersonic. And that's the story. So I think it's a recent story. Now I have 4 beautiful kids. They're living in this district, in this area, and I am enjoying with my colleagues to build drones.
I think Keith might have finally joined us. Are you there, Keith?
Yes, this is Keith. I made it through.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, we've been having a great time talking to Giuseppe Santangelo, your client here, CEO of Skypersonic. I was just about to ask him what services the Michigan Small Business Development Center had provided to him, so I guess I'll let you ask that question. How about that?
Great. This is terrific And Giuseppe, thank you for joining us, and perfect timing for me to ask you if you could share how you've worked with the SBDC on your journey.
Yes, it's very useful, very comfortable. We started to also to prepare some application for some BAF application for, you know, for space application and so on. So the help does a lot. And also, since we are connected with the Oakland County and with several procedural funds and so forth, we are involved in that. In addition, network, because our technology is very useful for other businesses, and they can build other stuff by using our products. So a network connection is pretty important to us, and then it's helping us also in that.
As you look to the future, what do you think your biggest obstacles are ahead with the business?
I think the biggest obstacle to be always focused, to be ahead, because sometimes you start to sell something you like and you don't want to change that because it's generating revenue. But a small business, you have always to be ahead, all to be ready to a changement if that is needed to increase, you know, your sales, to increase your technology and so forth. We are living in a world that technology is changing so quickly, so immediately, and month by month you can realize that there is a new things, and you have to be able to have the mentally preparation to jump in that, instead to say, okay, I'm comfortable what I'm doing now, I don't want to change again. No, that's the most important part. So I'm the obstacle could be your mind, in other sense.
Do you worry as you grow about finding the right talent to continue to keep your business momentum up? We know that the talent shortage is often a blocker to business growth these days.
Talent is always a very important element, I think. Hiring young people and help them to find their path by exploring their talent. It's a beautiful activity. It's very very important. So we found many of the talent in the students, in the people who was my students at university. 80% of my employees were students I talked to. I am not scared about that, as long as I can keep forming, helping the young talent to grow.
All right, so we're under a minute now. Giuseppe, why don't you tell our audience how you can find out more information about Skypersonic?
Okay, absolutely. Going in the website, www.skypersonic.com, you will find all the information to us. We are connected. Obviously, we have Facebook, social network, but I believe probably the best way is to be focused, be connected with our social network, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and obviously the website.
Okay, and Keith, real quick, the contact information for the SBDC?
You can search Michigan SBDC on Google, and you'll find your way right to our website.
Okay. Well, I want to thank both Keith Brophy from the Michigan Small Business Development Center and Giuseppe Santangelo, CEO of Skypersonic. In case you're wondering how that's spelled, that's SKYPERsonic.com. And we've been mousing around with that website here in the studio, and it looks like really cool technology. And we'll be right back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast in just a moment. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we'll be back in a minute.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast, the only podcast you're listening to right now.
We hope.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was at briefly at the Michigan Cyber Summit this morning. I must admit I got there late, so I missed the governor's remarks and a few other things. But we have, who's going to help us fill in the details here, we have the state CIO, Rajiv Das, who I think you're probably still there, aren't you?
I'm still here, but just one correction. I'm the state CSO.
Oh, CSO, excuse me. I promoted you there.
CIO,
you know, so. I'll give the governor a call. You know, we'll promote you. So yeah, CISO. Excuse me. So this would be your day today because this was all about security at Kobo. Again, I missed the morning presentations. I got there about 10:30. Had to deal with some business issues. So sum up for us what's been happening today.
Yeah, it has been pretty eventful. Very rich content. We started the morning with Governor Snyder's address, of course, where he focused on several key things. One was the STEM curriculum, going up to high school and then collaboration with institution of higher knowledge, colleges. He definitely wanted to focus on connected vehicles, which is coming up pretty good, and State of Michigan being one of the leaders. And just challenging us to counter the things in a very proactive manner. That was followed by a keynote from General Langille, who is the four-star general from National Guards. He has been here for the second time, so he talked about collaboration between National Guards, the state government, how that's working out, how they're adding value. And it was followed by a general addressed by Cisco. Cisco has become a partner with State of Michigan. They are providing, we are basically collaborating in several areas, higher education being a primary focus and building a cyber community. Followed by a panel discussion moderated by me, which was focused on security awareness. I'm sure you have heard about the phishing scams, the emails you get with bad links, those kind of things. Education is key for any organization, security awareness. So we talked about that. I had a very rich panel. And then we broke out for some breakout session, mostly focused on cybersecurity from different aspects, multiple topics. After lunch, we had the address by Deputy Attorney General Rod Rothstein, who came from D.C., and just talked about cybersecurity as a whole from federal perspective and Department of Justice perspective, followed by multitude of very good sessions from different industry. A key panel was a federal panel where we had FBI, Department of Homeland Security, as well as National Department of Justice, moderated by Tim Bloot, who is part of National Governors Association. So we are just finishing up that session, and the breakout sessions have just started. So for me, a very busy day, but a great learning experience and great collaboration.
All right.
I hope I summed it up for you.
You did very well. Yes, thank you.
So what do you think, what were people at this event saying are the biggest concerns right now as far as security goes? I mean, I know we hear about phishing, we hear about a lot of this stuff, but to me the really scary part is critical infrastructure, but you know, that's just me. I just wonder what the hottest topics are there.
Critical infrastructure is definitely a key topic, but everybody's worried about breaches. After Equifax and all those things. So every organization in Detroit area or in Michigan, whether you are talking about public sector or private, they store a lot of critical client data or citizens' data. So we are all worried about the breaches. And the key thing is what we need to do to prevent breaches, programs, preventive measures, just security awareness, you know, that's a low-hanging fruit. It can be done easily because 70 to 80% of the time, breaches happen when one of your employees clicks a link and then malware gets installed, called, and then ransomware and other stories begin. So I will say critical infrastructure definitely very important, especially in Michigan, where we have Sioux Locks, we have two bridges, and a multitude of other critical infrastructure. especially energy plants. But across the board, data breaches are probably number one. And what we can do, how we can collaborate to prevent those.
All right. Did the recently introduced the Active Cyber Defense Certainty Act come up at all? I've read about that a little bit recently.
No, that didn't come up. But we have a lot of people in the audience were talking about two state bills. One was Michigan Cyber Civilian Corps Bill, which was signed by Governor last week. So this is a volunteer organization, or you can say volunteer cyber fighters. We manage that. So State of Michigan Department of Technology and Management Budget manages it. We have approximately 70 people who can be brought into action by when governor signs a cyber emergency. So that bill was discussed among a lot of audience folks in the audience. And then there was a FOIA exemption bill also, which is being discussed actively. Both of these are state-level bills, by the way.
All right. I know we've had the cyber defense or the cyber civilian corps for some time. Was this bill a renewal or expansion of it?
Yeah, it had some additional things which we were working from last 1 year. And finally, it was passed by Senate, I think, 36-0. Governor Snyder signed it last week.
Okay. And what about the...
So it gives more... Go ahead, sorry.
No, that's... You go ahead. You go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely enhanced that bill, and then it went through its usual process to be signed last week.
Okay.
So that's a cyber civilian corps bill.
And what was the FOIA exemption bill? What would be exempted?
So here is the crux of that bill. So this was sponsored by Michigan State Police. A lot of times they do investigation, joint investigation with private sector, and most of the time private sector is not willing to share critical information because of the FOIA.
Yep.
A surprise, huh?
Yeah. Okay.
Because they're afraid that it will get out. So I think this bill focuses on some FOIA exemptions when MSP, Michigan State Police, is working with private sector to resolve an issue of crime. I don't have the specifics of the bill in front of me, but there was a hearing 3 weeks ago on that bill, and where Michigan State Police presented its case. So that's going through the voting process within legislative assembly right now.
Okay. So also, I actually sat in on a session where the woman from JetBlue was talking about how similar the issues are with airlines as they are with autonomous vehicles. So that there should be some collaboration in that space, right?
Oh, that went very well. I mean, that was a learning experience because, you know, we don't know the aviation industry that well. But she said, hey, there are a lot of similar trends and, you know, everybody's eye popped up. So that was a very good analogy. And you know, we may have to collaborate there. Great discussion by Julia Poro.
Yeah, I mean, just think about the possibilities there. I mean, how many planes are in the skies at any given time? And if the bad guys can get a hold of them, boy, kind of mayhem they could cause, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of similarities there. So that was a great discussion, great topic.
And then, of course...
And then we finished up... And then we finished up with two other topics. One was by Rami Efrati, who is a well-known figure in the Israeli cyber intelligence. He has been working with us for a long time. State of Michigan level. So he gave a very good topic discussion on what they have been doing in collaboration between Israel and U.S.
All right, so I'm assuming we're going to be doing this again next year because now we've done it for, what's this, the fourth or fifth year?
6 years. So the next year will be seventh year.
No kidding.
Yes, absolutely. So we look forward to doing it and probably doing more next year.
Yeah.
More topics, I mean.
One suggestion I might make, because I checked on it as I was leaving, I know you had cameras there to project the images onto screens. What I think would be most useful would be to record all that information and make it available to the public after the event. What do you think? Did we lose him? Oh, are you there?
Rajiv? Yeah, I think we lost Rajiv.
I'm sitting here.
Okay.
What I was saying that we will get that feedback to the committee. And yes, a few other folks have requested that too. So if they can make it happen, absolutely.
Yeah, you can talk to folks like us because we do that a lot. We can help you with that in terms of how to package that and get it out, whatnot. And of course, we can share it with our audience as well. Because there was a lot of really good stuff. And the shorter sessions in particular, the 20-minute sessions are really good for video because you don't want them to be really, really long because people won't stick with long video.
Yeah, people don't have the attention span for that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, I mean, I learned, like, the airline thing alone. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to pass that to Leslie Smith, who helps us with this. So, excellent suggestion.
Okay, yeah, Leslie Smith of the I just want to give them a little plug here because they're a former employer of mine.
Yes.
The Engineering Society of Detroit arranges this event for the state, and they do a fine job of event planning. Just Leslie is their event planning.
And I ran
person.
Into your old boss when I checked in this morning. I'm a very large
Robert.
Man, and I
yes.
knew right away it was Robert. So.
Yeah, he's a big dude. What's funny though is he was a music major in college and plays the flute.
Wow, I never guessed that.
Yeah,
huh?
You would not guess it to look at
I'm
him.
I'm thinking
absolutely.
More like a power forward or something, you know?
I was thinking tight end. I mean, he's big as a football
too.
Player.
Yeah, very big.
Okay. So, all right. So what was the attendance there today, Rajiv?
We, at the last count, I know it was 900 plus.
Wow.
But I believe there were a few people who walked in. So the count was 900 plus.
Okay. All right. So you're getting close to four figures there at this event. Because I know it gets bigger every year.
Yeah.
So, because there's more and more concern every year.
Yeah, we definitely did better than last year.
Okay. All right. So, you know, going forward of, you know, what do you see as the next big step for the state in terms of cybersecurity, in terms of state government itself?
So within state, we will continue to work internally on some projects. One of the focus for us is we call it threat analytics, which is basically knowing things before something happens. That will be a good goal. We are working on it, and we also would like to promote Michigan Cyber Civilian Corps, which is linked to Governor's 21st Century Framework. So we will have a lot of active projects going. I just mentioned some of them to you.
All right, we're going to.
And of course,
go ahead.
Of course, security awareness for all our employees.
All right, thanks very much, Rajiv Das, the state chief information security officer,
CISO,
reporting live from the Michigan Cyber Summit. Thanks very much, and we'll be right back with another segment in just a few minutes. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared Tech Cast.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launch pad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we almost
stepped on each other again. Yes.
I was going to say the exact same thing, so we have to do some kind of personal jinx thing.
Okay,
now.
All right.
We were hoping to have with us in this segment Tel Ganesan, who is president of TIE Detroit, the entrepreneurship organization with its roots in the Indus community, but which has now expanded beyond that.
Yep.
And they do an annual event called, it used to be called TIECON Midwest. Now it's TIECON Detroit. Detroit. I guess that's yet another way in which Detroit is cool now, huh? Because they use that for the name of the conference now, and it draws people in.
Yes, and I found it. What we got? We got a caller. Is
do we
there?
Have Tell? Tell, is that you?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, we started without you. We already introduced you here. Your last name is pronounced Ganesan, right?
Ganesan, yes.
Okay. Make sure I thought we had it, but we wanted to make sure. So we were just doing the setup on the conference coming up on the 8th and the 9th. But instead of us doing it, why don't you do it? Why don't you explain what TyCon Detroit's all about?
So TyCon Detroit is the largest entrepreneurial conference in Michigan that is focused on latest and greatest disruptive technologies.
Okay, so what would those be?
It could be the mobility, connected health, also known as digital health, also into fintech, blockchain, cryptocurrency, and then moving on to, you know, connected cities, smart cities. It's all around. When I say connected mobility, we're not just talking just mobility related to auto. All mobility, anything that moves from point A to point B. It could be movement of people, movement of goods, movement of services, movement of data, movement of information. So that's what it covers, the mobility, the health, the fintech. So that's what we are focusing on TyCon. So we believe that's really going to help Michigan and Detroit move forward.
So
create more opportunities for entrepreneurs.
So who are some of the big names or that you can say who are speaking at the event that people might be familiar with?
Obviously, we are getting the father of Pentium processor. I mean, obviously, everyone should know who invented Pentium processor. So his name is Vinod Nam. He is from Silicon Valley. He's one of the greatest inventors. And he's also an investor, and he's looking at investing into, you know, Michigan, especially around the mobility. So he's going to be one of the grand keynote speakers. We're also getting a CIO of Ameritrade from the financial investment side. And there's a person by name Suresh Ramamurthy. He's the chairman of CBW Bank. He has disrupted the banking industry with his application. And we are getting Matthew Gibbs, who's the deputy Oakland County executive. He's big into mobility. So that's what we are trying to do. So we're trying to showcase. And then we have entrepreneurs on the social side. And so that's really what we are focusing on. We are focusing on three different elements. One is, you know, technology, second, investment, and third, social. So TAI is all about not just making money, but also giving back. So that's really what we are trying to promote to keep the virtuous cycle going.
Now, I know in years past you've had a competition that paid a large purse, like $50,000 or something like that. Is that part of the program this year?
Yes. So I just described about, you know, the speakers, but we also have the mobility competition, which is, you know, where we provide the $50,000 investment into the winner of the competition. So we attract, you know, companies. Again, this time the competition is mainly focused on mobility. And so, like last year, the winner was from Brazil. And so we expect this year, I think we expect, you know, global participation on that mobility competition. And then there is also another thing called TAI 20, where we award the top 20 emerging companies in five different verticals. And some of the verticals I already talked about, it's all around, you know, the mobility, the health, et cetera. So we have competition on one side and also awards on another side on top of the speakers, you know, from various, you know, whether it be general sessions or hot verticals. And then also on the horizontal, we have marketing technologies, we have talent shortages, where we talk about how do we, you know, get the right talent, given our you know, needs in the economy. So we try to encompass all different areas that are useful to an entrepreneur, to the investors. Basically, we try to foster and nurture the whole entrepreneurial ecosystem. That's really what this conference is going to accomplish.
And I can't recall if there's a charge to attend, but I'm sure there is. What is the charge?
I mean, there are a couple of charges. One is a membership, a non-membership, and they're all displayed in the website. If somebody goes into www.tycondetroit.org, there's a lot of big, bold register buttons in there, and that will walk through the menu of charges. But to give you a ballpark, Mike, and I would say it's anywhere from $150 to $200, and depending on whatever they choose, you know, so it's $150 to $300 is the range.
And that's for 2 days. It includes food and all the rest, right?
Yes, yes. And you know, you're hosting at the Renton Marriott. It's a very expensive place. It's an upscale place. So
yes, very
to
much.
Me, it's just quite a bargain for spending 2 days. And so most of them are subsidized, right? So we are just charging very nominal. We are a nonprofit organization, so it's not about making money. So it's really to get the participation from all the entrepreneurs in our region.
Okay, so who are the sponsors for the event? Let's give them a little love here.
So we have Michigan Economic Development Corporation and my own company, Kaiba. We are the grand sponsor. We have TD Ameritrade. We have Comerica. We have Joe Calabert, immigration attorney. And then also there is a transit authority from Detroit, RTA, Regional Transport Authority. And then there are other, sponsors that are coming in. So these are some of the sponsors. I just want to give you a feel for it.
Okay, and so I might mention the MI Tech News has become a media sponsor. So conveniently, you're having your event the same time that Automation Alley is having their Integrate event. So since I promised Tom I would come by his as well, I can actually do double duty there.
But that's the Integrate is a one-day event. This is a two-day event.
Yes,
though,
right. I can do 1 day and hit them both and then resume my duties on Friday with my newsletter. But that's good. Yeah, I was worried about how I was going to spread myself that thin, and then I realized you're in the same place. So, hey, problem solved.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
how many?
Absolutely.
Tell how many.
In fact, we will complete. Yeah, go ahead, Ramit.
I was just wondering, how many years have you been doing these conferences now? It's been a while, right?
Yeah, so I myself, being the president, I did one in 2009 and 2010. And then I did one in 2016. I took a break. Then this is the fourth Tycon I personally getting involved as the president of the organization. And so now, the last 2 years, we were doing a Dearborn. Now we have taken it to the city. As you know, our city itself is coming back with a lot of entrepreneurial activity. And not just entrepreneurial, but the food scene is amazing there. Music, nightlife, all of them are happening with Joe, with the Little Caesars Arena. The Red Wings is going there, the Pistons is going there. I mean, it's just the whole thing is happening there. Our city has become a happening place. So we decided, wow, let's move our conference into Detroit. Let's really be part of that movement. Let's part of that excitement. So that's why we moved into Detroit, and this is the first time we are hosting in the city.
I notice also you have an entrepreneurial expo kind of with more than 20 exhibitors. That's going to be an interesting spot to be too.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, where else can we showcase our aspiring entrepreneurs? This is a great marketplace for them to network, to promote, and gain some new content.
Now, in years past, I have attended your event. I think it was at the Henry in Dearborn. But one of those evenings, you have a lot of Indian dancing and food and whatnot. Is that going to be part of this, too?
Nah. This year, I think we said, let's go with just a live band, not Indian dancing. So one of the things what we are trying to do is that, of course, everyone loves Indian music and dancing, but we are not going to do this year. This year it's going to be a live band, and we're going to still chill out that way.
Well, I'd heard that you're going to do like a Bollywood number. You personally, you're going to go out there and dance, and well, not true. I guess that was false. That was false news or something, right? So,
fake news.
Yes.
No, I may do a couple, but I think we have a combination of both Bollywood and Hollywood, and that's what Thai is all about. I mean, we're trying to make it a more inclusive organization where we bring everybody together. And that's what you're going to see this year, even in the entertainment side of the conference.
I know it used to be called The Indus Entrepreneurs, but you've changed the name to Talent, Innovation, and Entrepreneurs. Is that right?
Yes, and then we even went one step further, Mike. We just made it TIE, just TIE, that's it.
Okay.
You know, it's just TIE Detroit. So, like I said, we wanted to be more inclusive because, yeah, of course, the whole thing was started by, you know, people of Indian origin, heritage, but now the entrepreneurship, you know, we are just making it more mainstream. And so we took out all those, you know, references to the Indian entrepreneurs. So it's now it's just TIE Detroit.
Yeah, and I know one of our partners, Linda Deschant from the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan, is working closely with you.
Yes, she is. In fact, she's a very active participant. She's not only chairing only on mobility, she's also involved in connected cities. So she's been a great supporter of TIE and a very good personal friend of mine. So she's actively engaged. She believes in the mission, and we are excited to have her working with us.
So what kind of crowd are you expecting? What is the estimated attendance here?
I mean, typically we draw about 500 to 700, and I think that's where we would end up this year, being the first time into Detroit. I think if we get that, I'll be happy. And okay. Still, it's a decent-sized crowd for a conference of this size.
Yeah, that's a good number, manageable number. It gets much more than 1,000. It gets kind of unmanageable. Just way too many people.
So we want to keep it exclusive. Yeah, so that's the sweet spot we want to hit.
All right. Matt, I can see you were getting ready to say something. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask if people want more information, Tell, where do they go online?
So they go to the website, www.tycondetroit.org. And then, you know, the website, we have, you know, good menu in there so people can access all of them. And the register button is there. It walks you through. It's almost like an a la carte menu, so you can pick and choose whatever they want. And whatever experience they like to have, it's all out there. So, yeah, so again, the website is www.tycondetroit.org.
And besides hosting this annual event, you do, I'm not sure if it's monthly events, but I know you do a number of events during the course of the year, right?
Yes, yeah. So we also do some monthly events. In fact, we had one last week talking about flying cars. Not just, you know, land mobility, but also air mobility. So, yeah, so we do a lot of speaker series events throughout the year to get the engagement going throughout the year.
So you had George Jetson there, I assume, right? And his boy Elroy and all that. Yeah, that may be, you may not have, that Matt and I grew up with a cartoon called The Jetsons, which had flying cars in it, but you may not have been here when that was going on. I guess that was the 60s or something, wasn't it, Matt?
Yeah, it was the
60s. I wasn't born, Mike, at the time.
Yeah, okay, well, you probably missed that, so... But that's the old joke with flying cars is meet George Jetson.
Yeah, where's my flying car?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's the future.
Yeah.
Where's my flying car? It's the future. You know, I mean, come on.
Yeah, now it's almost becoming a reality in the years to come. We may be going to the event in a flying car.
Okay.
You may be.
Sounds like fun to me. Yeah. I don't know. Why not?
Certainly to me.
I think Jessica's got a flying Jeep, don't you? Or no.
I wish.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think maybe sometimes it flies, but it's not really supposed to. Maybe that's
She's like going too fast and goes over those hills and then
allegedly.
It flies.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
All right. And I was just looking at the TyConDetroit.org site. If you'd like a taste of what the event is going to be like, there's video there, there's audio there, there's a whole bunch of interesting stuff there. So go take a look and see if you might want to attend. Tal, thanks very much for the update, and we will see you in Detroit the second week in November.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All right. Once again, that's tycondetroit.org. I want to thank all of our guests today. Tal Gannison of Ty Detroit, State Chief Info Security Officer Rajiv Das, Keith Brophy from the Michigan Small Business Development Center, and his guest Giuseppe Santangelo with the cool safe drone Skypersonic. And we started off the show with Patrick Anderson, longtime Michigan economist, and now he's getting into some really interesting software for connected vehicles.
I think he's a street fighter, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And a dapper dresser. Just
yeah,
ask
absolutely.
Him. Okay. All right. Well, that'll do it for another week of the M Squared TechCast. We will see you live on the internet once again next Monday at 3 p.m. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.